welcome to Conversation With.
Hello.
You're still only 25.
Yeah.
You'll turn 26 in September.
Yeah.
And yet, according to your own guess, so to say, of how much your valuation of your company is, it's over, what, 2 billion?
Several billion.
Yeah, it's several billion now, which makes you a multimillionaire.
Yeah, but we care about what we provide to the society and what our products can help the traffic and help the environment.
Many people who look at your bright yellow bikes would ask, is this really a business model or is this a social enterprise? Do you actually make any money?
Actually, the bike sharing business model is really profitable. And because when we run out of money from our lost business, we only have 400 RMB in our bank. So we want to do something profitable. And we thought about the bike sharing maybe can help us to earn money. So until now, we will break even at this year. In Q4, we'll break even. So next year, we'll have profit. So it's a profitable business model.
How much, though, you have, I believe, 1 million bikes out in the world, here in China, in many cities, but also in places like Singapore, Cambridge, Silicon Valley. These millions of bikes, though, they cost you something to put out there. How much does a bike cost?
Now it's around $100.
But that means that, you know, do you have a percentage that you say that are going to be, you know, you're going to write off, they're going to be spoiled, people are going to vandalize them or so on. So what percentage do you actually say, let's say out of 100 bikes, how many do you say are going to, you know, not be usable after a few months?
All of our bikes will be depreciated by 24 months. So after 2 years, all the bike has to be, has gone. And we have to put all the new bikes. So to every month is about 3 to 4%.
3 to 4% of your bikes basically are sort of say waste, as it were. Yeah. So you say that a bike costs you about $100. That's a lot of bicycling. Because you don't charge very much for 30 minutes.
It's only one RMB.
Exactly, precisely, one RMB. You'd have to have a lot of rides to actually even just break even to cover the cost of having a bike, far less all the distribution, marketing, and everything else.
Now we provide around 25 million trips. And by the end of 2017, we estimate we'll provide like 60 million trips every day. So it's not small money, because every day we can have around $10 million as revenue at the end of this year. So although it's like we have higher revenue, you must have higher costs, but the most important is your profit rate.
You actually have a degree in business and finance.
Yeah.
Did this play any part in how you developed the business model for OFO?
Actually, no. Because in class, we just learn about some financial models, like to calculate the cash flow, and like DCF model, all of this thing. But when you really do a business, you start up with nothing, you have to think about how to survive, how to make the consumers buy a product, and how to expand, how to raise money from the capital, the equity or the loan or the debt, the different way you raise money, and how to spend your money in the most efficient way to keep you survive until you get another sum of money. So that's really totally different from what we learned in our class.
You've got some very big backers though, very famous backers ranging from Didi and Financial.
Yeah.
You know, you've had a lot of very substantial cash rich, asset-rich companies who are willing to invest in you. How did you convince them that you were worth investing in, that you weren't just a crazy idea by some Peking University students?
Yeah, at first we are just in campus. At that time, all of my teachers, my classmates, and even my families, they don't believe we can survive for 3 days. Because they told me, if you put the bikes on the street, all the bikes will be stolen in 3 days. So you cannot survive for 3 days. But we insist on what we believe. We think the bike sharing can help to provide the transportation, the environment. So we keep doing it. We never give up. So it's not like suddenly we raise a huge sum of money. At first we raise like 200K RMB, and then 1 million RMB, and then 5 million RMB, and then 10 million RMB, and then 10 million US dollar, and then 100 million US dollar, and now more than $1 billion. So it's step by step. Every state, every peer, every quarter, we make a big process. So, and we show the number to the investors. Let's see, in the January of 2017, we have around 2 million trips every day. Now it's 10 times bigger than only 6 months ago. So we prove that we have the high potential of expansion and growth. So the investors, they believe in numbers. They believe in data.
Do you think you'd ever become like Travis Kalanick from Uber?
No.
Why is that? Why is it that Ofo will not have this, you know, bad boy culture, or if you call it this kind of much more aggressive culture? Is it just because it's Chinese, because you're here in China?
Maybe it's because of the Chinese traditional culture. We really care about the balance, like yin-yang balance. Now we want to hire more girls, more, and that is the balance. And we want to do both the mechanic lock and also the GPS lock. That is a balance. We also want to do a lot of things to keep the company balanced. I think that is important. And we won't do one thing too aggressively. And we will make it as a whole, as a whole, one thing. I think business is about mathematics. We have to calculate everything. What rate, percentage of the bikes may be stolen? What percentage of them may be broken up?
One of the things, though, with a bike sharing model is that you need to have quite a lot of bikes out there. Yeah. Because if you don't have that volume, then you end up with that very frustrating thing of people going out wanting to, you know, ride an Ofo bike, but there's no Ofo bike.
Yeah.
Right. So you really needed to volume up very quickly.
Yeah.
How did you handle that?
Yeah, it's really the most difficult part. Like, 1 year ago, we have 50 people and we have 5,000 bikes. Now we have more than 2,500 people to manage this more than 6 million bikes. It's boom in the last 12 months. But I think it's the demand driven. We do a lot of survey from the citizens in different cities and do if there is a bike like this, do you prefer to ride the shared bikes, not your private bikes? We did a lot of survey, and also we estimate the demand and the trips and how many bikes we have to provide in one single city. All the back end is the mathematics, and we also have the great cooperation with the supply chain. We have cooperation with Fenghuang, Feige, and Giant, all these bicycle brand. And so it's a win-win situation for us. It's not an easy job.
Do you think, though, that it may end up being, though, a question of who gets the maximum number of bikes out is going to be the winner? Because you're not the only bike sharing company around.
No, I think that's a different business model from the bike sharing to car sharing. We are more likely to the B2C model because we provide bikes to the public, and also we are more likely to the offline to online because most of our traffic come from offline. People find the bike and scan it and ride it. So I think in future all the bike sharing companies we will have more cooperation with each other. Now in Hangzhou, we have a cooperation with a local bike sharing company called Qibei. And people can use Ofo's app to scan Qibei's bike and unlock it. So also gonna to be like Android. We will provide the standard API to different companies, different local bike sharing companies, and also becomes the platform for them. We have brand, we have traffic for them, we have the standard API, we have the management system ability, because we manage 6 million bikes now, and no other companies can manage that many bikes, and they don't have experience. So we will empower the others, and I believe we can get the win-win situation.
So you don't see this as a winner takes all, one single big bike sharing company will dominate, and then you will also crush all the small sharing companies.
Yeah,
you say that won't happen.
Won't happen. Live together. The world become better because more bikes in cities, more bikes on street, the environment, the traffic become better.
In places like Singapore, we've mm-hmm. not just seen bike sharing suddenly sort of boom. We've also seen a certain amount of negative things in society. Uh-huh. How do you feel when you see that your bikes have been stolen or vandalized?
Yeah, I'll give you a little story first. Last year in November, we visited Singapore, and we want to look about the Singapore market. We work for 4 hours. And we only saw 2 people ride bicycle. So I suppose maybe we can give up. We won't do the Singapore market. But my team, they said, we have to try. And now, after the 7 or 8 months, we have around 10,000 trips every day in Singapore, which is really impressed by my team because no people ride bicycles before. That's a small story about Singapore. I think about the question, I think business is about mathematics. We have to calculate everything. What rate percentage of the bikes may be stolen, what percentage of them may be broken up. So if you calculate everything in your model, you can have a number of your profit. So we calculate everything and we operate to test if the model works. And now after 2 years operation, I can say our business model is really work. So I'm not worried about the things because all the things are numbers, are math.
So you don't take it personally when somebody takes your Ofo bike and resprays it another color and steals it?
Because you have to think there are millions of bikes on the street. This bike is only one bike, one of the 6 million bikes. So we cannot be influenced by this single phenomena. We have to think by numbers.
Do you ever worry sometimes that you are 25 going on 26 and that you have reached the peak already?
No.
You can't get better? Do you see yourself as an idealist or a businessman?
More like idealist. and from 2 years ago, we started our business. I learned more and more about how to run a business. But in my mind, and I want the world peace, I want the environment better. So I really have these dreams. And we're not only saying, we're doing.
But that's a nice thing to say, but you're working, I presume, pretty long hours. This is consuming your life. I understand that you have managed to have a girlfriend, but this is not an easy life being an entrepreneur, contrary to what many people think.
Yeah, but I think it's really unforgettable period. When I look back to the last 12 and 24 months, it's full of difficulties. I suffered every day by different problems, but you solve it, you make progress, and you make the world better. That really inspired me to keep moving.
Do you ever worry sometimes that you are 25 going on 26 and that you have reached the peak already?
No.
You can't get better?
I think if you have the really, really big dream in your mind. Every day is the new start, it's a zero. Like in Chinese, 空杯心态. All the success is past. And from today, we have to make progress than yesterday.
What does your family, though, think of this? When you started this idea in Peking University, I mean, you were just, you know, three nerdy, if I could call you that, guys, in a bike association in which you were all just biking. You know, what did your family say when you said, and now I'm going to turn it into a business?
My mom really supported me, and my dad really didn't support me. So every time I came home, my parents and me will have a long conversation talking about if I have to get the internship in some big company or to apply for this for the full-time job or to start a business. We talk about for 1.5 years until the end of last year. My dad, I think, fully support me to start the business by myself. So it's a really long time.
It took quite a few months to convince him that this was a real job.
One and a half years
to convince him this was a real job.
Yeah.
But for you also, things have changed tremendously. You're sitting here in your bespoke suit, a lovely suit, in this nice, beautiful convention center. This is a far cry from your being in university, being a university student. Life has changed for you tremendously. Has that affected you in any way?
Yeah, because 6 months ago, I think I'm still a student. I graduated last year. And after this spring festival, one day I was in McDonald's. And another guy say hello to me and said, "Hey, are you the CEO of Ofo? I love your product. I love the yellow bike." So in the past several months, I have to get familiar with the communication with the society, with the public, and the coin has two sides. I want to motivate more people, to inspire more people to make their attention on the environment, on the transportation problems. So although some difficult for my personal life, but I think, that's better for the society.
So in other words, you're willing to take on a certain amount of this celebrity status?
Yeah, I have to take more responsibility to do that.
Is there an ultimate number of how many bikes you're going to have in the world?
Yeah, by the end of 2017, we believe we can have 20 million bikes. And in future, like in 10 years or in 2030, I think maybe at least 100 million bikes.
2030, 100 million bikes?
Yeah, around the world. Every country, every city. You can find a yellow bike. You can ride a yellow bike.
Dai Wei, you are a very ambitious man. Thank you very much for being in conversation with
me. Thank you.